Thank you for joining me. My name is Tom Moses. Today I'd like to talk about responding to spill-related demands, penalties, and fines. Fuel spills and other releases of hazardous materials, even a small quantity, can turn into an expensive incident, especially for the spill generator who is not adequately prepared to deal with regulatory authorities. Nearly 30,000 federal, state, and local jurisdictions across the U.S. require spill generators to file incident reports within a stated time or face hefty fines for failure to comply. Having care, custody, or control of the material at the time of a release is what makes you legally liable or legally responsible to report spills. The care, custody, or control test is also the test for strict liability, which is liability without regard to fault. It doesn't matter that you didn't mean to have a spill. If there is a spill, you are responsible because of who you are and not what you did, and you must report. Failure to report can result in a request for information, notice of violation, or penalty or fine. A request for information means the agency is currently investigating the source, extent, and nature of a release. Failure to respond fully and truthfully to each and every request can result in an enforcement action and penalties of more than $37,000 per day. Responses must be accompanied by a notarized affidavit stating that the information is true and accurate. Unless your information is classified as confidential business information, or CBI, it may be made public, thereby inviting third-party liability claims. The process for asserting a business confidentiality claim is set forth in 40 CFR Part 2, Subpart B. A typical information request consists of 60 questions. A typical request requires you to provide information about your company, your driver, your equipment, and your facility, the material released, the amount, and where it was released, where the material went, and known health effects, the actions taken by your company, and reports completed. And that's just a request for information. A notice of violation or penalty demand is more involved. A notice of violation can be used by third-party claimants as evidence of wrongdoing and civil liability. Avoid violations and demands by being prepared to report, respond, remediate, and safely and legally dispose of spilled materials. Responding to demands, penalties, and fines. Naturally, your company is concerned with spill costs, including fines and third-party claims. Some jurisdictions offer alternatives to payment of fines. Don't hesitate to bring in your own expert. Get a second opinion before agreeing to costly disposal. Know the regulations and file required reports on time. Take an active role in managing the spill to avoid overreaction by authorities. Explore alternatives to paying fines. Most state agencies will offer a special enforcement settlement known as a Supplemental Environmental Project, or SEP, which can reduce or even eliminate the amount of a penalty. SEPs are agreements to perform activities which the agency feels will provide an increased level of environmental protection. A truckload carrier that filed a late report after a diesel spill incident in Charlton, Massachusetts, proposed an SEP to reduce a late notification penalty of $11,500. The carrier proposed installing an onboard spill reporting system on its trucks. This system would help provide the authorities with rapid notification and details of a spill. The proposal was accepted by the DEP, who called it an innovative way to sound the alarm after a spill and protect the environment. Since a faster response is definitely better for the environment, the fine was reduced to zero. Responding to demands. Don't hesitate to bring in your own expert. You can challenge an official finding based on scientific evidence. A tank truck released 4,000 gallons of methanol-based cleaning compound into a creek. The company would have paid $305,000 more if they had accepted the initial finding of a State Department of Environmental Quality agent. The agent initially ordered that the water in the creek be drained and a nearby pond cleaned out. That scope of work would have involved a large amount of equipment and personnel, along with disposal of large quantities of soil and liquids. A local consultant was retained on behalf of the carrier and showed that the methanol compound would evaporate and degrade within 8 days with no residual left behind. Based on this information, the DEQ agreed to a less aggressive approach and allowed remediation of gross soil contamination and sampling of soil and surface water to confirm that the compound had degraded. Within 2 weeks of the incident, sample results confirmed that the contamination was below regulatory standards. Get a second opinion before agreeing to costly disposal. 85 drums of hazardous waste caught on fire after a collision between two tractor trailers. A large quantity of the waste was discharged onto soil. The response contractor had classified the contaminated soil as the type of hazardous waste which required costly pretreatment prior to incineration, which was the preferred disposal option. Before committing to that, a consultant was retained to provide a second opinion. The contaminated soil was sampled, again to determine if it could be reclassified for disposal. The findings showed that the soil could be disposed of locally, bringing the cost down significantly. The difference in the lower disposal rate per ton created a cost savings of over $388,000 for the carrier. On top of those savings, transportation for disposal was reduced from $4,100 per load to $2,300 per load because the soil could now go to a local facility. Additional negotiations resulted in a total cost savings of $453,000 for the spill generator. This was a case of knowing which questions to ask and knowing the environmental regulations of that particular jurisdiction. Know the regulations and file on time. One private fleet was fined $75,000 by the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection after a routine diesel fuel spill of 30 gallons. The driver stopped the flow from the punctured saddle tank, and the company filed a full accident report with the New Jersey State Police. But the fine was the result of failure to comply with the state's environmental reporting requirement. The police had not mentioned the requirement, and the company thought it had done everything required of it. Individual cities and towns might have spill reporting requirements. Every state has a law making the spill generator not only liable for having the release, but liable for failure to report. Federal reporting requirements can be based on the material, like waste or extremely hazardous substance, or the media impacted, water, air, or soil. Take an active role in managing the spill to avoid overreaction by authorities. A carrier in Pennsylvania ended up with demands from two fire departments for a release of 5 or 6 gallons of diesel fuel. The fire department sought reimbursement of over $14,000 after they brought 28 emergency personnel to the scene of the spill. From a practical standpoint, most people would think that jurisdictions don't respond to spills that small. Yet by law, fire services are typically obligated to respond. Emergency services reimbursement laws provide public sector responders the ability to recover spill response costs from spill generators. Avoid this situation by quickly communicating the nature and extent of the release and the impact. Document the fact that you have advised those on the scene of the release quantity and the limited nature of the impact. Emphasize that a major response by emergency personnel is not needed. And finally, remind the authorities that emergency services reimbursement ordinances often have limitations, requiring reasonable response, or response at the direction of a named person or agency. For more information, visit us online at spillcenter.com or phone 978-568-1922. You can email me, tmoses@spillcenter.com.